I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Oscars are on Sunday. It's gotten to the point that my household just wants to watch what happens on the red carpet. The rest, well, it's always interesting to hear the post-awards buzz. Other than that, I'm mostly interested in the best documentary category. Some of the best films that have come out of the Oscars are docs. Citizen 4, Searching for Sugar Man, Inside Job, real stories at play like actual feature films. We're pretty proud that one of this year's nominees was produced here at WGBH by our partners at Frontline. It's called Abacus, Small Enough to Jail.
People get the wrong impression that Chinese are not law-abiding.
This case is an attack on our community. We're easy prey.
Too big to fail turns into small enough to jail, and Abacus is small enough to jail.
It tells the story of the Abacus Federal Savings Bank, a family-owned bank in New York's Chinatown that catered to the immigrant community. Abacus was owned by the Sung family, and it became the only bank that was prosecuted in connection to the 2008 mortgage crisis. Abacus, Small Enough to Jail was directed by Steve James, who is also behind the 1994 doc Hoop Dreams. Abacus follows the Sung family as it goes through 5 years of court battles. Vera Sung is one of the daughters who, along with her sisters, her mother, and father, has traveled to Los Angeles for the awards ceremony. So one of the things, Vera, that struck me about your story is that your trouble started because you all alerted authorities to irregularities in your book. So did you get in trouble because you were honest?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I had discovered it during a closing that I was doing for the bank that one of the loan officers at that closing was involved in some impropriety. And I immediately reported it to my sister, who's the president and CEO, Jill. And she actually fired him the next business day. We also reported it to our regulator and to Fannie Mae. It was actually not a complaint against the bank, but actually against this loan officer. So when the district attorney's office actually called us, we thought that they were helping us, were helping us to uncover improprieties that may be going on.
And then things snowballed from there. It's interesting that Abacus was the only U.S. lending institution to face criminal charges as compared to Goldman Sachs, which received a fine. Abacus was not a big bank. In fact, it was the 2,651st largest bank in the U.S., so that gives you a sense. Why was Abacus the only bank to face criminal charges after 2008?
We feel that we were being picked on because we were easy prey. We represent a minority community. We're founded by my father, who is a minority. We are owned by Chinese Americans, and we largely employ Chinese Americans, many of whom are immigrants. And I think that the district attorney felt that it would be easy to pick on us, even though it made no sense, being that our default rate was consistently, has been consistently less than 0.5%, while during the 2008 financial crisis, the default rate was significantly larger. But he decided not to prosecute any of the large banks who are within his area, actually admitted to committing guilt. So to this day, believe that it was truthfully a discriminatory act against our community.
Is it possible that the district attorney was just focusing on Abacus to make an example of one bank?
Yes, we also feel that as well. The racial motivation part was the manner in which he conducted this investigation, the way he orchestrated the perp walk. So the perp walk scene was we had former employees all chained together and led down the courtroom halls in front of press. And it was obvious that it was staged. If you look carefully at that clip, which we looked at, and you can see the district attorney investigators, and they were all dressed up. You could see a bow tie and suit. Obviously, they knew that they were going to be in front of press. And then three of those individuals who were in this perp walk actually had already been arraigned and arrested. But it was actually a sad thing because two of them, one of them who was eventually exonerated after trial, he told me afterwards that during the trial, his mother had passed away and he wasn't able to go back. And for our culture, it's so important to go back.
Vera, you believe that if it had been Goldman Sachs facing criminal charges, there wouldn't have been a perp walk. Is that what you, I know it's a speculative question.
No, I definitely think there would not be a perp walk. And the idea that Goldman Sachs being indicted, they would never get indicted because all the big banks, they got deferred prosecution or a non-prosecution agreement and then a payment of a fine. We were never offered that. We were told you must plead guilty to a felony charge and also pay a fine. that was the choice that was given to the big banks has never been given to us, to the banks that were actually facing potential criminal charges.
Why did your father start Abacus in the first place?
He started it because he felt strongly that there was a need in the community to get financial services otherwise that they could not get. He himself, as an immigrant, and even as a lawyer, he had deposited money in banks. And then when it came time to borrow money, he could not borrow from the banks. They would give, you know, the excuses such as, we don't understand your language.
So, Vera, what do you want people to take away from your family story in this documentary?
We feel that the documentary and our experience has points out that there are issues with respect to the way big banks and small banks are treated and regulated. The disparity is actually very unfair. A lot of the large banks who actually committed a lot of the crime really helped to cause the 2008 financial crisis. Not the small banks and community banks such as ours,
right,
are treated in a different way because the collateral consequences of these large banks failing would be detrimental to the economy, whereas small community banks, that sentiment is not there. So small community banks play such a vital and important role. We actually serve people in the community that the big banks would not, who actually would turn them away or consider them not worth the time and the resources to serve. So we spend a lot of time trying to serve the underbanked community. And one of the most astounding moments when we were watching the film for the first time, we heard what he said. He said he would treat us the same as he would any other Indian or South American bank, which are minority banks.
This
he
is
never
DA
said
Cyrus
that he
Vance
would,
Jr.
Yes. He said he didn't say he would treat us the same as a large bank. And so it was very evident that there is an implicit bias or some sort of bias that he's not aware of that he has. And that was actually very upsetting and shocking to understand that. And my sister Chantrell, who actually was working for him, that she decided to leave and then help us defend the bank in this trial. She felt, I'm sure, betrayed by the office in a sense, but then ultimately felt that the system did not betray her, which is the criminal justice system, and that we fought within the criminal justice system, that we have a right to a fair trial and ultimately prevailed.
Well, as the Los Angeles Times said in its review, it's not every day that you end up rooting for a bank, but the story Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, they say, tells no ordinary tale. We'll see if the Academy agrees on Sunday. Vera Song, thanks very much for giving us this inside look at your family's bank. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Marco.